1 Corinthians chapter 16. As Paul wrote these, what we call books of the Bible, were letters to churches, and he was inspired by God so that the words he wrote are the words of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration. That means the very breath of God. All the words of our Bible are God's words. We have in our King James Version some italicized words that show you they've been added for clarity because of the different language translations, all the ands and these and things of that nature. There's an italicized word to make the sentence flow. Now, when Paul wrote, God's Spirit guided him, and he makes these closing remarks in chapter 16. He's making acknowledgments to people, talking about those who have helped him. He is giving a pointed exhortation that includes, in these verses I'll read, five imperatives, five commands, five important things that are being emphasized by them as imperatives that we do. In verse 13 of chapter 16, he said, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is of the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such." Father, as we look into your word today, I ask for your help to help your people. And Lord, if there's anyone unsaved that hears the message today here or through our internet on our website, then I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would lead and guide and direct their heart to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, to understand the great love of God, to see the instructions that are given for Christians in this passage of Scripture. And we ask for your help in this in Jesus' name. Amen. The apostle said, be on watch. Stay alert. In verse number 13, watch ye. Secondly, he said, quit you like men. And that means take the role of a man. Take the mature route as you do the work of the ministry. Thirdly, he said they're to stand in the faith. Stand strong. Stand knowing what God's Word teaches and stand upon it, because the world will do everything they can to pressure you into changing it or disbelieving it or saying it is not important. But we know the Word of God is what is the authority for us to live by. Fourthly, he said, be strong. Be strong as a Christian. Be strong in your faith. Be strong in your commitments to God. Be strong in what you do for the Lord. And then let it all be done with charity or with love. First of all, he said, stay alert, be on watch. I know what it is to be on watch in a war zone. I never kept count of how many holes I had to dig, big enough for me to get down in. Now, I wasn't as big as I am now, you know, but dig a hole and get down in it and stay there for 4 hours in the night, peering into the darkness, watching for the enemy, sweating in 110 degree temperature after an 8 or 10 hour hike through the jungle with 70 pound pack on your back, and then 4 hours of watch before you could sleep, or sleep 4 hours and wake up and watch for 4 hours. Be on guard, be on watch, because the enemy could be at hand at all times. Now, Paul observed at Corinth, he was there for 18 months. And he's writing back to them with answering questions they had and also giving them instruction. He speaks about their behavior. The book of 1 Corinthians contains a lot of the verses are a rebuke on correction on how the people are to live and the wrong that was taking place. There was some sinful behavior here that exceeded what was in other churches. And the apostle wrote of those things and corrected those things and warned them about those things and told them they needed to be on guard and watch because Satan uses temptations to draw you into sinful behavior. All of his rebukes were tempered by love. He loved these people. He had sacrificed here. He had labored here. He longed to come back and be with them again. He's warning Christians to have a closeness with God. They must correct any sinful behavior. The scriptures are very clear that we must forsake and confess sin unto God to find forgiveness of it. And to have a close walk with the Lord, it's imperative that we walk in the light as He is in the light and not in the darkness of this sinful world in which we live. This day and time that we live in today, so many who profess to be Christians, who go to churches, live any lifestyle that they choose to live rather than submitting themselves to what the Bible teaches. And we preach about that here, and we have people committed to live for the Lord who are part of this church and who want God's Word to be preached and taught and to preach against sin and to preach for glorifying the Lord and His Word and a Christian walk day in and day out. Now, none of us are perfect. We all fail. We all make mistakes. But when we do, we're to go to God and confess that and seek His forgiveness and correct our behavior. If we're going to be able to have power with God in prayer, if we're going to have a testimony in the world in which we live to reach others with the gospel, we must have a consistent Christian walk with the Lord. And Paul warns about the many dangers that are out there. Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'll begin reading with verse number 5 in 1 Thessalonians 5. He said in verse 4 that you, brethren, are not in darkness. Verse 5, he said, you are the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we live or die, we should live together with Him. Back in the book of Romans, chapter 13, we have a similar emphasis there about awaking to the problems of the world around us and living for the Lord. In verse number 11, in Romans 13, he said, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I think about that passage often, that when I wake in the morning, I'm one day closer to the Lord than I was the day before. Our deliverance is near. Our salvation completion in Jesus Christ will come when He calls us up to heaven to be with Him forevermore. Therefore, let us be on guard. Let us be alert. Let us watch, because we're in a spiritual warfare. And Satan, who's very wise and very powerful, is our enemy. He's not all wise and all powerful. Our God is. And He has given us His Word to help us, that we might know how to live and defeat the enemy. We have a testimony as a Christian. We must guard that testimony. We must be alert, because Satan is always trying to rob us of our testimony. If you're saved today and you know for sure that you've been saved, He can't steal your soul, but He can steal your testimony and cause you not to be effective as a Christian. And sadly, like Pharaoh of old, y'all can leave and go out in the wilderness, worship your God, but leave your children here. The devil wants our children. And he might not be able to get us because we know we're saved, but have our children come to faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? If they have not yet, we must guard them, be on watch, we must be careful, we must know the kind of dangers that are out there, and we must walk carefully, circumspectly. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're still looking at this first imperative about being on guard, being alert. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, other passages that deal with this subject. Peter said, put your care on the Lord, for He careth for you. Then in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 and 9, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So we're to be on guard. Satan uses our own natural desires to appeal to us to sin, to draw us away from the straight and narrow path to follow the desires rather than following the Word of God. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Temptations beat against us like the armor of God that we put on. We know to put that on. We know to pray. We know to stand fast in the Lord. We know to have the knowledge of salvation in our helmet. We know to have the sword of the Spirit. And the only offensive weapon given to us is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. The breastplate of righteousness is to be on us. Our loins are to be girt about with truth, and our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're to carry the shield of faith to quench the darts of the enemy thrown against us. We put that on. That shield gets beaten on all the time. That breastplate gets hit all the time. Satan tries to wear us down with temptation and get us to succumb to our desires. Be on watch. Be on guard. Be aware. In Revelation 3, each one of the seven churches of Asia Minor were warned to watch for what was coming, to be on guard, not to lose your light or your testimony. This church has a testimony. It has a testimony of being a friendly church. It is a place where people can hear the gospel preached. It is a place where people can be saved. It is a place where people can be discipled. It is a place where a good host of mature Christian believers are a part of the teaching staff of the church in all of our ministries. This church has a reputation. God help us not to lose our reputation because we bring harm to the cause of Christ and the name of the Lord. To the churches of Revelation, they were warned and they were told, strengthen those things that remain. Our world has changed so much. Church is a lot different today than it was in the early days. And many people who go to churches all around the country have no clue of what real Bible Christianity is to be like. They are apathetic, indifferent to the changes being made and what's going on. Every major denomination is ordaining women preachers and homosexual men and women. The other day, the Presbyterian USA ordained non-binary minister. In other words, they ordained a man who says he's not a man or a woman. Non-binary. No commitment to being either sex. And he's been ordained as a minister in the USA church. He needs to be at the altar praying for God to forgive him of his sins and to get saved is what he needs. And we live in a day with all those things happening, and people are apathetic to it because they hear it all the time, they see it all the time. One of our men went into a Panera Bread in Fort Mill, and the workers are wearing a shirt glorifying the homosexual movement, and it is sponsored by Panera Bread. On the shirt, employees wearing that. I got a problem with that, my friends. Now, my problem, I'm not going to go stand in front of their place with a big old placard and pick it. I'm just not going in there. And I'm not going to give them any money. And I'm not going to support what they're preaching and teaching to people when they come in. We have to make sure that we stay in the Word of God, that our truth is guarded, and that we keep it and pass it down to the next generation. False teachers bring in damnable heresies, the Bible says. And it causes people to be led astray from the truth. People turn to teachers who will tell them what they want to hear, because if their lifestyle is spoken against in the Bible, they want to find a church that doesn't teach the Bible about, just cuts out all those verses. Remember the Old Testament in Jeremiah's day when he wrote the Bible and he sent it to the king and they took a pen knife and cut out the verses that they read them and put them in the fire? That's exactly what the world is doing today when they reject what the Scripture teaches. Be on guard. Watch. And watch for the Lord's return, for you know not the hour that your Lord may come. Secondly, in 1 Corinthians 16, the second thing, he said, quit you like men. In other words, be the man. Take on the role. Mature yourself to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He said to Timothy, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, enduring hardness. All of you who served in the military, you went through a boot camp training, and it was hard and it was difficult, and it was to prepare you for what comes next. And many had second and third phases of that kind of hardship. The first sergeant and his boys trained in recon. I know Sonny did. And that's like a year of boot camp. They got scuba school and mountain climbing school. And when they're running 3 miles carrying a telephone pole instead of just running 3 miles, you know. And hardship is unbelievable. But it's getting them ready for the dangers they're going to face and to be able to serve under the conditions that may happen. God has us in a spiritual boot camp. We are learning, we are growing, we are maturing, we are gaining the experience that we need to overcome what the devil would put after us. We can't be like children carried to and fro by every wind of doctrine or every wind of teaching that comes along. People run over here to this thing, and they run over there to that thing. And my friend, the Bible's true, and it's been there all along, and it's not changing, and it's not new. And we don't need to be that way. We just need to learn what the Bible really says. And as mature believers, we shouldn't wear our emotions on our shirt sleeve. Most of you know, but some people would not believe, the things that people get offended over. And I'm not the kind of person to walk easy around folks. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, and if you don't like it, it's not me you don't like, it's the Word of God that you don't like. But people get offended on the least little thing. They wear their emotional shirt sleeves. Christians should not be that way. We should be strong and mature and able to have understanding and to deal with the difficulties of life that don't go our way. Thirdly, he said, stand firm in the faith. Be grounded in the basic knowledge of the Word of God. We know there's only one way of salvation, and that's in Jesus Christ. You can't improve on that. As dispensationalists, we understand what's going to happen, that we're in this age of grace right now, the church age, and the next thing coming is going to be the Lord taking us to heaven to be with Him forevermore. There may be a lot of things happening in this world before that takes place, but that's the major event that we're looking for. And we can understand prophetically what's going to happen in the end because God's already written the end of the book and explained to us the things that are going to take place. So we must not become corrupted We must not let others lead us astray. We know that you can't mix truth with error. Truth must stand true, and it will to the test of time. Fourthly, they are to be strong. Gain strength through the Word, through their attendance in the church, through their service for the Lord. Ephesians 6:10 says, to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We must stand against the wiles of the devil. And to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, we are told in that passage to put on the whole armor of God. Boy, we need that in the spiritual warfare that we are in. Satan is in favor of destroying marriages. Satan is in favor of leading people into sinful behavior. Satan is in favor of getting people to believe things other than the truth. And it's imperative that we be strong in the faith. It takes a certain amount of self-sacrifice and self-discipline and spiritual exercise to learn the Word of God and to put it into practice in our daily life and to avoid the problems of sin. Paul wrote to Philippians, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You see, the job as a Christian is too big for any one of us. But with the help of God, we can do anything that God asks of us to do. Number five, let all things be done in charity or love. Love's qualities are explained in 1 Corinthians 13. That agape type love is the love that God has for us, that He would give His Son to die in our place. It's the kind of love a husband and wife are to have for each other. It's the kind of love a parent has for their child, to sacrifice for their good, to protect them, to help them in every way that they possibly can. It's the kind of love that we're to have for one another and for the Lord. It's not based on romance. It's based on a self-sacrifice for another's good. God gave His Son for us, and now we are to give our lives for Him because He first loved us. Therefore, we're to love Him in return. Paul speaks about his love for these fellow believers, the house of Stephanos. Those who serve the Lord show their love for the brethren and for God by serving God's people. Paul had baptized the house of Stephanos. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 16, he spoke about that when he was dealing with the difficulty of the people following personalities. And he spoke about those he had baptized, and the house of Stephanos is one of those. He had a few others along with Stephanos who visited him. Chapter 16 we're in, and verse number 17. I'm glad for the coming of Stephanos and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. So Paul had these believers who got saved in Corinth and baptized in Corinth. Now they're coming to see him where he is. He's in Ephesus at the time of this writing, and they have brought gifts to him to make up what he needed in support to get the ministry done. Love motivates people to try to meet the needs of others. I loved an old preacher who's dead now. His name was Everett Cooper. Everett had back surgery. The surgery crippled him. He went into a wheelchair for a year and a half. He gained about 100 pounds. It was hard for him to walk, hard for him to get around. He finally got to where with a walking stick he could move. He came and preached here, and he had to prop up and set his behind on the communion table there. He couldn't stand that long, and he couldn't climb the steps to come up to the pulpit area here. Everett was a spiritual man. He loved the Lord. When I was around him, I was encouraged spiritually. I went away feeling like God had been in our presence. There's some preachers I'm around, I feel like I need to go take a shower after I've been around them. Their mouth is not what it should be. Their heart is not what it should be. Their dedication not what it should be, but Everett was not like that. Because of his condition, he pastored a very small church. Didn't make a lot of money. He went before the Social Security Board and they put him on disability. And he wanted to move to Texas where his one daughter and one grandchild lived. His wife didn't really want to move. She said, they were country people too. She said, Everett, she can call him Everett. She called him Everett. Everett, if we move out there to Texas, I won't never see my sister anymore. He said, oh, Lord, she lives 20 miles down the road. You don't never see her now. She don't come to see you. So I talked to a friend who had been in the moving business and just telling him the situation about Everett's going to have to move. Probably going to cost him $4,000 or $5,000 to move to Texas. And I said, he hadn't got any money. They're going to sell their house and buy another house that's the same cost. And all they're going to have is their Social Security to live on. He said, you like him? I said, yeah, he's a godly man and wonderful fellow. He said, I'll move him out there for nothing, just the cost of the fuel. I said, you've got to be kidding me. He said, no, I'm serious. So for $800 in diesel fuel, they moved him out there. I gave those guys the money to buy him a nice steak. And I went up, and my brother-in-law went with me, and we helped load everything up on the trailer and the truck. And twice, my wife and I took our vacation and drove to Texas and got a motel room at our cost and stayed for a week or longer, and we took the Coopers out for every meal, at least lunch and supper every day, and took care of all the expense and spent time with them. And when we would leave to come back, they'd cry the whole morning. We were getting ready to leave. I have never made those sacrifices for anybody else. I loved him. He's with the Lord. We're to love the Lord first and foremost. And we're to love each other. It should have been the natural thing for men to want to help him being the godly man that he was. But very few actually did that. The house of Stephanas had addicted themselves to the ministry to the saints. They were devoted to service for others. That word addicted does not mean the same as we think about somebody with an addiction to alcohol or drugs or something of that. It means to set themselves in order. To serve, to be ready, to be prepared, to seek out opportunity to serve. And this church is a servant church. We have so many people that proved it during VBS, prove it every week in Sunday school and junior church and the Master Club program all year long on the Wednesday nights and the little blessings that our ladies help to learn music and verses. And every area of this church has many people who are involved in service. And when I say we need to do this, there's a good group that will step forward immediately to say, what can we do to help? Thanks be unto God. Our lives as Christians should be revealed by how we live and by what we do and by what we say. Paul had a testimony of a changed life. He went from being a Pharisee that persecuted Christians to being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who now preached the same Christ he once persecuted. In all his ministry, he would comment about how he felt himself unworthy. He felt he was the least of the apostles, all because he had persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful God saved me out of a pit of sin and cleansed me and gave me a hope of heaven and gave me a new life. I want to live for Him and serve Him. And I'm thankful this church has that attitude. May we be a testimony to this community in which we live and around the world through our missions and our witness. Let's stand together. The imperatives in the Scripture are commands for us to obey. There are many of them, at least 1,600 in the New Testament. These are five that Paul listed as he closed 1 Corinthians chapter 16. They're great reminders to us in this day in which we live. They're so needed. God help us to obey them. Father, bless this invitation, we pray, and use it for your own honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.